Well, if you're a local or if you've been around a while, one of the things you know, once the semesters kick off for local schools and for the university, we start getting ready and excited for the Barbecue Festival, which is coming up this year, September 24 to 26. This is an important opportunity that we have through one of the booths that we will rent during some time there to just let our community know. Two things we're trying to let our community know on a regular basis through various outreach events. Number one, we're here. And number two, we care. That's what we're trying to show people. We're here and we care. This year, sort of the theme of our booth is going to be to provide a refresh station. And we're going to be giving out cold water, and we're going to have some cold air blowing around with some of the fans. We're going to have a place to charge your phone, because that seems like a good service we can provide for people. And of course, we're going to be giving out free Bibles, taking prayer requests, giving people an opportunity to come to know Jesus through what we're doing. And here's why I'm mentioning that right now, because we need your help. Before long, we're going to have some sign-up sheets where you can sign up to work during the barbecue festival, and we'll be there from dusk to dawn, as they say, or maybe dawn to dusk. Why is it dusk to dawn? That's the phrase, but that doesn't make sense. Anyway, so we're going to be there, sun up to sundown, and one of the things we're going to be doing is we're going to have a little area that people can pick up cards that are written, hopefully, by you. We're going to call the station Encouragement to Go, and we're going to have on the envelopes the topic. We've got about six different topics that are going to be sitting there, and if one of those topics resonates with someone, they can pick it up and take it home, and when they open it, the card will have a verse of Scripture printed at the top, and then beneath that, it will have a message from you, handwritten. So we're going to be addressing topics like comfort in grief, hope, encouragement in widowhood. After all, we have a fantastic widows ministry. We're going to talk about strength for family life, peace in anxiety, and purpose in life. And we're going to sort of do all this around our annual theme, Jesus is Why, because I think that's a theme that resonates with a lot of people in our community. These sheets are going to be available at the family table beginning this morning. And if you're interested in helping out, why don't you go and pick up one or two of those? I need those back by September the 6th. You can return those to me, to any of the ministers, or you can bring it by the church office. What we've done on these sheets is we've given you the verse of Scripture that will be printed on the card at the top. You don't have to include that in your remarks. And then a writing prompt. For our topic of hope, we have share a brief reminder that difficult circumstances do not have the final word because our hope is in Jesus. We've given you a few things to consider, a helpful structure for your handwritten message, and then we're asking you to write your message within the box at the bottom of the page. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to take your remarks, scan them, put them digitally on a computer into a card that we can print out. And that way we don't have to make 1,000 cards. We can duplicate a number of cards that you've written in your handwriting. And that will give us a good opportunity to have all of these encouragement to go letters for our neighbors in the community, where you will have an opportunity to share, in this case, the hope of Jesus, or the peace of Jesus, or the purpose of Jesus, or the comfort of Jesus, with our friends and neighbors who will stop by this year, the Lord willing, at the barbecue festival. We need those by September the 6th, either to me, to the church office, to one of the ministers, and we really appreciate your help as always with these. If we're not careful, a worship service can just become another obligation on our very busy calendars. I don't know what brought you here this morning. Maybe it was habit. You know, it's just what you do on a Sunday morning. You get up, you go to church services. Maybe it was a sense of responsibility. I gotta go. Maybe it was a friendship. If I don't show up, then so-and-so will be looking for me. Or maybe it was even a family relationship that made you feel obligated to come today. If I don't go, I'm gonna hear it. You know, I can't show up Sunday lunch if I skip church that morning, right? I'm going to hear it from my grandma if, I'm not there this morning. And it's nice to have some external motivators, but the book of Hebrews gives us an even greater reason, that Jesus is why. Jesus is why I come to church services. When we gather, we're not merely attending an event or receiving information. No, instead, through Scripture, through prayer, through singing, through communion, through giving, through fellowship before and after, we are being shaped by Jesus into people who think and love and live more like Him. We gather at His feet together so that we can become more like Him together. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 19 and going down through verse 25. And I'd like to share three reasons Jesus is why I come to church services. Number one, we come to draw near to Jesus. We come to draw near to Jesus. I didn't come out of a family obligation, out of a sense of responsibility, out of the pressures of, conforming as a new student at Freed Hardeman. No, I came because of Jesus. Jesus is why I'm here. I'm here to draw near to Him. Beginning at verse 19, the writer says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus." Wait a minute, we have to stop. If I'm not really familiar with the book of Hebrews, I may not realize that this is what the writer has been driving at all along, that I can actually come close to God. That's what he means. He's using Old Testament imagery. You had the holy place and the most holy place. And what the writer is saying is Jesus has made it possible for me to enter, so to speak, into the place where God is, into the holy place. And I get to do that through Jesus. And I can do it confidently. I belong in God's presence, not by virtue of my own merit or anything good that I did, but because of Jesus. Since we have this kind of confidence, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, okay, when Jesus died, He shed His blood, verse 19, and made it possible where we can come close to God. And, verse 21, since we have a great high priest over the house of God, there's a second thing that the writer has been emphasizing throughout this letter. I have a high priest, one who runs to my aid when I'm in trouble to dispense mercy, Hebrews 2, verses 17 and 18. One who stands at the right hand of God to speak to God on my behalf, Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16. One who is able to sympathize with my weaknesses. And because of Him, I can know that I can draw near to God. Let us, verse 22, since these things are true, draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, our hearts having been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Once again, he's employing Old Testament imagery here by showing us, okay, in the Old Testament, that blood was sprinkled on the people by the high priest. And here, the blood of Jesus, our high priest, has been appropriated to us through baptism. And inasmuch as we have been cleansed and our hearts, to Benjamin's point earlier before the communion, our hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Our bodies are washed with pure water. Jesus has made this possible, and we have come this morning to draw nearer to Him, to hear His voice through Scripture, to remember His sacrifice in communion, to praise His character in song, to place our burdens at His feet in prayer, to realign our hearts with His will. And by coming to draw near to Jesus, Jesus is shaping us. We tend to become like whatever we continually place at the center of our lives. It's not just what I think about in a passing way, but what I'm placing at the center. And in worship, God is placed at the center again. We behold Him and we think about our desires and our priorities and our attitudes, and those things are gradually reshaped. We don't change overnight. We don't change in 1 week. We don't change in one service. Instead, over time, through the sum total, the net results of our continually showing up for the purpose of drawing near to God, we find that we are becoming more godly. As we draw nearer to Jesus, we are becoming more like Jesus. This morning, I have to ask myself, why am I here? I want you to know that there are temptations for me as the preacher. Am I here just to fulfill an obligation of my job? Am I here to get the paycheck that comes around once a month? Am I here so I can stand in the spotlight and wear the crazy microphone? I have to keep myself in check. Am I here to review my notes the whole time while the rest of the worship service is going on, as if this is the main attraction of the worship service? Which, by the way, I don't believe it is. I'm telling you, I have to do some introspection on me, but now it's your turn. Why are you here? What brought you out of bed this morning? What brought you across the street, students, this morning? Am I merely present in the room? Am I just occupying a spot? Or am I intentionally drawing near to Jesus and allowing Him to reshape me? Oftentimes you get out what you put in. And if you're not putting in a lot, I don't expect you to leave here feeling like you really got a lot out. Connect with Jesus. We come to draw near to Him. But number two, we come to hold on to Jesus. To hold on to Jesus. Look at verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Hold fast the confession of our hope. We found out back in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 and 19, that our hope is anchored in Christ, that the hope of Jesus anchors our souls, that it's steadfast, that it's sure. And we've come today to hold on to that, to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Boy, life is continually trying to loosen my grip on Jesus. Disappointment, temptation, grief, exhaustion, distraction. These things can slowly pull our hearts away from Him. But every time we gather, we're reminded. We're reminded what we believe. We're reminded to whom we belong. We're reminded where our hope is found. We're reminded that God is still faithful. There will be a day when all will bow before Him. There will be a day when death shall be no more. Standing face to face with He who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. If you're not moved by those words, then your heart is hard. I've come this morning to hold on to Jesus. And you know, worship has a way of reshaping me. Worship rehearses the gospel until its truths begin to shape my instincts. We sing what is true. We hear what is true. We remember what Christ has done. We confess our hope together as all of us sing. You've realized by now, haven't you, that it's not about knowing which of the four parts in four-part harmony you sing. You've realized that it's okay if you don't know how to carry a tune in a bucket. You've realized that by now, right? You've realized that it's not about you coming and showing off how great of a singer you are. It's not about, as you go to put your money in the collection plate, doing like a slam dunk move so everybody knows that you gave today, you know. What I'm saying is, you've realized this morning that worship isn't really about you. You've realized, I hope by now, that this is all about Him. And what we're doing together, the reason why it's so important that you, every single one of us, is participating in this, is because we're encouraging each other to live out the gospel. We're confessing our hope together. And over time, these repeated practices train our hearts to trust God when life becomes difficult. As you come to worship, will you come ready to receive a truth about Jesus that you can carry with you through the week? It may be in something that is said during the sermon, or it may just be something that was read during the scripture reading, or it may just be something that was sung during the singing. It may be something that the man who led us in our communion or offering meditation said. It could be the way that a brother worded a prayer. It could be in our Bible classes that you receive a nugget of information, something you can take that you can store in your heart. It may be new, or it may be a reminder of something very old. It may be something that someone worded in a way that was just a little different than the way that you thought about it, that sort of opens up and expands your thinking about that topic. Whatever it is, take one thing from today and use that to help you to have further confidence in Jesus for tomorrow. Number three, we come to help each other follow Jesus. Let us consider verse 24. How to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Church services are not only about what I receive. Maybe I need to say that one more time. Church services are not only about what I get. My presence contributes to the spiritual formation of other people. When I sing, I'm participating in teaching and admonishing one another, Ephesians 5:19. And if you refuse to sing, your voice of encouragement and admonition is missing to me. I come to encourage someone who's struggling. I come to notice someone who feels overlooked. I come to model faithfulness for my children. I come to help someone take another step toward Jesus. The writer in verse 25 discusses the habits of some, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some. I just want to, I know people use Hebrews 10:25 to beat other people upside the head sometimes. And that's not this sermon, okay? But can I just ask you, I mean, the writer asked it or prompted the question, what's your habit? What's your habit relative to worship? We try to keep attendance records because that's a way of our leadership sort of monitoring the spiritual health of people. And listen, just because somebody has perfect attendance doesn't mean that they're really close to Jesus. But when people stop coming, that's a warning sign. And we take that very, very seriously. That's something that we need to strongly contemplate. And as fellow Christians, we have an obligation to reach out to one another. And a great warning sign that someone struggling can often come when their pew is empty. What's your habit? Are you in worship services more than you're not? And I can hear in my mind some of the objections that people have made. And listen, I've heard it all before. I've been doing this for 20 years. I've heard this stuff. Yeah, well, I'm following Jesus privately. Yeah, I'm doing. But listen, the writer says in verse 24 that there's an aspect to worship beyond what you receive. There's a part of worship that is beyond just what is between you and God, though I would never say that worship is less than that. Let us consider one another. And the reality is, out of sight, out of mind. When I'm not with you, I may not always think about you. When you're not around me, you may not always think about me. And that's why we just need to be together. To stir up one another to love and good works. Boy, I never feel more discouraged than when I'm all alone. or when Satan has convinced me that I am. But when I'm around you and I hear you sing Jesus is Lord, when I'm around you and we sing together, you know, it's different than if I were to sing by myself, like in the shower or in the car, you know. When I hear you sing, every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, easier sung than done, but it sure makes a difference. When tomorrow morning, when Satan hits hard, I think about the way you sounded when you were teaching me and admonishing me, Robert, praise God in the darkness. God is good no matter what. This is why Hebrews warns against neglecting to meet together, because when we stay away, we miss encouragement. And others miss what our presence could have contributed. See, gathering together teaches us that Christianity is not an individual pursuit. We're not in this all alone. Worship trains us to look beyond ourselves and to bear each other's burdens and to become people who are characterized by love and good works. Each time you gather, when we come together like this, we're going to have another opportunity at 5 o'clock, Lord willing. Would you be intentional to encourage at least one person? Maybe we can try and find a way to stir up each other to love and good works, to ask how we can help each other in following Jesus. After all, He's the reason why I'm here. Jesus is why. I come to draw near to Him. I come to hold on to Him. I come to encourage others to follow Him. And through it all, I'm being transformed so that I become more like Him. It's a cultural misconception that the people who gather in rooms like these are people who already have it all together. That's just not true. No offense to you, I'm speaking on behalf of myself. We gather because we need Jesus. Because Jesus is using our worship and His Word and His people to transform us. That's why we're here. Every time the church gathers at the feet of Jesus, He's shaping us into the people that He calls us to be. And so as we conclude our thoughts, can I just ask you this morning, how is Jesus shaping you right now? Has there been something throughout maybe the course of last week or maybe even this morning that has reminded you of things in your life that you need to change so that you can be close to Him? Is there something that's hindering you from drawing near to the Lord through worship this morning? Why not leave here with that taken care of? Why not come to the Jesus who not only gladly receives the worship that we offer, but has also promised us that He is in our midst as we are here to worship? Come to Him. He's not far off from this place. If you haven't before, why don't you put Him on in baptism? If you're still in your sins, why don't you come repenting, confessing His name, and die with Him in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins? We're ready to do that today. Don't put it off. Do it today. Maybe there's sin in your life, dear Christian, that you need to confess. Or maybe you just came here this morning for the wrong reasons. Maybe your heart has grown kind of cold. And today, through the songs, through the prayers, through communion, through the offering, through His Word, He's pricking your heart and drawing you to come back. I know this. There's an encouragement unlike any other when the church rallies around someone who comes to Jesus. It is second only to the rejoicing that is happening in heaven when a lost sinner comes home. So we're going to sing this song to encourage. And if his hope isn't your hope, now's the time to respond while we stand together.